Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Jeff Katz, News Radio WRVA. It is a Thursday afternoon. Riots here in the city of Richmond. Riots out in Louisville, Kentucky. Riots in other parts of the country. Because some people are upset with the decision of a grand jury in Louisville, Kentucky. Well, I've heard a lot in the news about the Breonna Taylor matter, and a lot of it, to be perfectly blunt, just isn't true. It's demonstrably untrue. And I wanted to try and get a handle on this and do it without a lot of over-the-top approaches, not a lot of hyperbole, just a real honest-to-goodness assessment of what the grand jury found. And I could think of nobody better than our friend Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. And I'm always happy when Jimmy is able to make time for us. Jimmy, thank you for being here, sir.
Jeff, my wife is going to take exception with that description. She claims I'm always over the top and I am riddled with hyperbole. So I appreciate that. But she is standing here shaking her head saying Jeff is being too nice.
Well, okay, I'm just going to leave it there. The last thing I'm going to do is get in between Mr. and Mrs. Galliano. So, that being said, Jimmy, let's talk a little bit about what happened in Louisville. And I think we both, as decent people, say, gosh, it's terrible. We extend our sympathies to anyone who is that young and dies. I mean, nobody wants to see that, right?
Yeah, first of all, no decent person, you know, celebrates the death of any human being, and especially one which, as you point out, in the case of Breonna Taylor, is by all accounts an innocent. She was somebody who was in her apartment, and she was killed by police bullets. Full stop. That is the truth. Mm-hmm. But when you dig down into the facts of this case and you look at this thing within context, Jeff, I feel like it's Groundhog Day. I mean, we've had incidents in Washington, D.C. of recent and in Chicago of recent where looting and rioting and vandalism happened in the wake of a false narrative. People pushed false narratives out on social media. Flash mobs showed up. And police officers, as in the case last night in Louisville, Kentucky, two police officers were shot. Police officers have been targeted. Not just caught in gunfire, but targeted as a result of this narrative. And, Jeff, it is dangerous. It is foolhardy. It is making the job that much more difficult. And I know you want to get into it. I am going to debunk the case, which is the grand jury was wrong not to bring murder charges against the police officers in Louisville, Kentucky.
All right. Well, excellent. That's what I'm looking for. And the first thing that I think we ought to address, I've heard this repeatedly, that the police officers were executing a no-knock warrant at the wrong address. Is that correct?
That is incorrect. So what people who keep pushing this narrative, and I got to tell you that, you know, the papers in Louisville have done a great job of basically, compiling a list of debunked myths. And I'll give you four of them. You alluded to one of them. The first one was they went to the wrong address. This is inaccurate. The police had search warrants and arrest warrants for a number of locations. Now, Breonna Taylor was a 26-year-old young African-American woman. She was a medical officer. She had, I believe she was working at a hospital at the time. She had worked briefly as an EMT in Louisville, has done nothing wrong. But a former boyfriend by the name of Jamarcus Glover did live with her for a period of time. He is a known drug dealer. He was someone that was on the radar for the Louisville Metropolitan Police Department, and he was named in one of the arrest warrants. Now, the location where Breonna Taylor was, the apartment, she was now living with a different boyfriend. And this boyfriend was not named in any of the complaints. He was not listed on any of the search warrants, not listed on any of the arrest warrants. But her property was. This was not the wrong address. So when three police officers showed up there, and on this was in early March, Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly, Detective Miles Cosgrove, and the now former Detective Brett Hankinson showed up. They were conducting a knock-and-announce warrant. Now, anybody familiar with what police protocols understands the difference between no-knock and knock-and-announce. The vast majority of warrants served in this country, whether they're at the local, the state, or the federal level, are knock and announce. Now, Jimmy, what does that mean, people are going to say? What is knock and announce? It means that as a former FBI SWAT team leader, I would direct my team to bang on the door loudly and yell, "Police, warrant, open up." Now, you give the people, the inhabitants of that residence, you're assuming the suspects are there, or in this case, it was a search warrant. So, yes, if there were certain people there, they'd arrest them. But they were going there to try to find drugs, part of the narcotics conspiracy. Well, a no-knock warrant just means you're dealing with a violent felon. You're dealing with somebody that you don't want to give them an opportunity to get to a weapon. That wasn't the case here, Jeff. In all instances, police have to announce themselves. Now, it's just a matter of time between knock and announce and between taking the door. Mm-hmm. In this instance, they knocked and announced. The grand jury in Louisville, Kentucky, has found a witness that said they heard the police loudly, demonstrably yelling, "Police." They took the door, and they were met by Breonna Taylor's now boyfriend, a man by the name of Kenneth Walker. And he was armed with a 9mm pistol. He took up a shooting stance at the end of the hallway. He fired and he struck one of the police officers, Sergeant Jonathan Mattingly, in the leg. Two police officers returned fire. And, Jeff, this is when it gets a little bit – you have to look at it from the contextual perspective here. Mm-hmm. Another officer who was former Detective Kenneth Hankinson – Brett Hankinson was posted outside. He fired into the apartment. He did not hit Breonna Taylor. He did not hit Breonna Taylor's boyfriend, who was armed with a pistol. But his rounds went through the wall of their apartment into another apartment, didn't strike anybody, but in that apartment – was an innocent man, an innocent pregnant woman, and an innocent child. The grand jury returned an indictment, three counts of wanton endangerment, but did not charge any of the officers with either murder or attempted murder or negligent homicide. And that's what has everybody stirred up, Jeff. In this case, I believe the charges against the detective that fired indiscriminately, he fired 10 rounds, didn't know where he was firing into, mm-hmm. I think they're righteous. And I think the decision not to charge the two officers who returned fire after one officer had been struck in the leg, I believe that that was justifiable shooting, and they were rightfully not charged in this case, Jeff.
Jimmy, it's a fascinating situation where we listen, we watch, we read this story sort of spin out of control, and it's almost like whisper down the lane, right? Somebody says, "Oh my God, these cops, they broke the door down. It was 3 o'clock in the morning. Man, they're shooting everybody. They killed this innocent woman," and it keeps going and going and going. And there seems to be, please correct me if I'm wrong, but there seems to be almost an attitude on the part of some, and I would describe those who are rioting, demonstrating in some cases, to take the approach, take the attitude that we don't care what the facts are. We just do not care what the truth is. Am I reading that right?
No, Jeff. We have now moved on the social media platforms. We've moved from pandemic experts into policing methodology experts. Like if you log on to Twitter or Facebook or Instagram, you are going to find a plethora of people that have got opinions on this. Look, every American citizen has a right to weigh in. Every American citizen has a right to an opinion. We live in a great country that affords us that right. But the bottom line is you have to view these things in context. These police officers are entitled to the same due process anyone else is. And if you want to strip them of all the tools in their toolbox to allow them to do their job as safely as possible, when we send them into harm's way to confront the evil that many of us pretend doesn't exist, we're doing them a disservice. We've talked about a couple of them already, Jeff. There are four blatant lies that have been pushed by defense attorneys, social justice activists, Black Lives Matter folks, and they are this. It wasn't the wrong address. This was the correct address for the search warrant. Number two, it wasn't a no-knock warrant service. It was a knock-and-announce service, warrant service, and we have witness that actually testified in the grand jury to that. Number three, Breonna Taylor was not lying in her bed when she was shot. Now, look, whether she was in bed or standing in the hallway, no one wants an innocent person to be wounded or killed by police gunfire. But she was standing next to Kenneth Watkins, who was armed and shooting at police officers and in an aggressive shooter stance when the officers returned fire, and she was tragically hit. Number four, here's the fourth myth or lie. The officer was not struck by friendly fire. It was not a case of fratricide. The officers were all armed with 40 caliber weapons, pistols or long guns. And in this instance, Mr. Watkins was armed with a 9mm pistol, and the round that struck Sergeant Mattingly in the leg was a 9mm. Jeff, I just debunked four of the myths. None of that, and I'll stipulate this, none of that makes it okay for an innocent woman to have her life taken. But cops are not robots. You don't program us. There's no artificial intelligence that you can put a chip in their head and make them make the entirely right decision every time under duress and in stressful, in extremist situations. In this one, they responded to somebody shooting back at them. Jeff, it was reasonable. It's tragic. And I know I've used this term before, Jeff, this phrase. It was lawful, but awful.
Yeah. Jimmy, your service with the FBI as a supervisory special agent forces me to ask you the question about civil rights investigations. Now, everybody, I think, understands that the FBI sees public corruption and terrorism and the violation of individuals' civil rights as major pieces of the pie, right? This is a huge part of what the FBI does day in and day out. You take a look at this. Number one, will the Department of Justice come in and say, we're going to look at this for civil rights violations? And number two, I know you don't do predictions, but what would your sense be of the resolution of such an investigation if it takes place?
Okay, Jeff, so just to correct one thing there. So there is ongoing an FBI civil rights investigation into whether or not the service of the warrant or the predication that went into swearing out the warrant, whether or not Ms. Taylor's civil rights were infringed upon. So there are three concurrent investigations going on, a local one. Now, we know in these instances, typically the attorney general from the state where this happens steps in. And in this instance, Attorney General Cameron, an African-American who's in charge of the attorney general's office in Kentucky, stepped in as a special prosecutor because district attorneys and police departments often have a close relationship. They work cases together. Yep. And in an effort for full transparency and making sure that there was no connectivity between the investigators and the people being investigated, the state took it over. There's also a concurrent federal investigation. Now, I always shy away from issuing predictions, because in Super Bowl 51, when my dear Falcons were up 28-3 in the third quarter, I predicted they were going to win. That went horribly awry. Yeah. But I am going to predict one here, and I don't mean to make light of a tough situation here again, because it's a tough situation. But I am going to make a prediction here. I do not believe that the feds will bring civil rights charges here. Everything, and I have looked at this case, I don't have all the information. I'm certainly not privy to anything that was conducted in the secret grand jury convening. But everything that I've seen thus far, I believe the officers that were not charged acted responsibly, and they acted in accordance with a Supreme Court case called Graham versus Connor, which I believe was adjudicated in 1989. And it says you have to judge officers by an objective reasonableness standard. Do I believe these officers acted reasonably to return fire once they were fired upon? Jeff, in this instance, I believe the answer is a resounding yes.
Jimmy, it is always our pleasure to have you here. Just wonderful, wonderful insight. I want to remind everybody about two things relative to Jimmy's ongoing service. He may have retired from the FBI, but continues to serve as a member of the Board of Directors for the Law Enforcement Legal Defense Fund. And I always encourage people to go and visit them online and further, quite frankly, encourage them to donate. I also hope that people will check out your website, which seems to get better and better every day, jamesagalliano.com, jamesagalliano.com. Jimmy, I know I can't fix the little dispute there with your wife about how over the top you are, but I'm hoping that your cool, calm demeanor during this discussion will help to mitigate that situation.
Jeff, I appreciate it, and thanks so much, because you always give your guests an opportunity to expand on a point and to make sure to lay things out in context, and it's so important here. Everyone in this country is entitled to due process, even police officers during this time of social justice activism and demonization of police. And I appreciate you giving me an opportunity to kind of lay out what the officers were facing and try to apply some context here.
Thank you, sir. That is Jimmy Galliano, retired supervisory special agent from the FBI. Jeff Katz, News Radio, WRVA.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.